Virginia said something to me. I'm going to let her say it anyways. She doesn't want to, but I'm going to tell her. Get up here, Miss Virginia, please. She said something to me before, you know, right after we did worship. And I just want her to say it because I think it's an encouraging word for all of us. Amen.
Well, I just said how blessed I feel this morning to be in this church. Amen. I am so blessed. 82 years, I've gone to a lot of different churches, but this is where I'm supposed to be. Amen. I just like everything. I just love to hear Mark sing, and the worship is wonderful, and the pastor preaches the word of God.
You didn't go that far before.
I'll let you. That's not what she added. She added.
And I just feel so blessed this morning.
Amen. Amen. Being in the right place where God intended you to be. Any place else, you're just a visitor.
That's right.
You have to know where your home is.
Amen.
So that's where the blessing of the Lord, that's where you can receive all the blessing that comes from Father. And the blessing that comes from God is His Word and His Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to talk again about trust. Amen. And I'm really being torn here because I've got my notes, but I'm going to just speak from my heart a little bit, if you let me.
Amen.
That I haven't prepared this, so... But it's been all morning. Do you ever get a place where you've been, you know, in that place where it just seems God is speaking and wants to speak through you to impart his heart's desire for you? God really wants us to know him to the degree that we can trust him. Again, he said it to me this morning. He said, David... He said, and I was in prayer up here before service. And he said, if I take all of this from you, everything, if I take it all, will you still trust me? What would you say? We all going to say, and this is what I said. I said, I hope so. I can't say more than that, than I hope so. Because if I think that I have gotten to a place... Or I've got this, and Kathy said something about it. She said, I got a lot of pride. And it's true. And it's one of those sticky developments being a Christian is, I want to know him. I want to experience his presence. I want to hear his voice. I want to be obedient to what he tells me to do, but yet stay humble enough to recognize it's not me, but him doing it. And that's a hard place to go because we all have pride. Amen. We all struggle in pride. And I'm as big as anybody else. Trust me when I tell you that. You would think, oh, man, you know. Can you imagine if I had 10,000 people went to church here? Man, I'd really be puffed up there. I think I got it all together. No, I'm serious. But I trust God to keep me humble.
Amen.
I can't do it on my own. Amen. And so he knows. We sang a wonderful song this morning. Father. He's our Father. Let me ask you a question. Here's one of the things about Father and calling God Father. It can be a blessing and it can be a curse. The curse is you have an earthly father that wasn't that great a father. And what happens is you relate to our godly father as you would your earthly father. And that happens to a lot of people, whether you believe it or not. Amen. Then there's the other side where you have such an indulgent earthly father, you think your heavenly father's got to be just as indulgent. But one thing about our Father in heaven, that he's perfect in all his ways.
Amen.
He knows that he doesn't want his children begging bread in the streets and crying. And he doesn't want his kids sick and diseased. He doesn't want his kids poor and on the streets and with nothing. But he also doesn't want them so involved in themselves that they cannot be corrected by their heavenly Father.
Amen.
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 And so, Father knows best. I don't know if you, for us older people, we know where that program came from. Father knows best. Amen. Today, I don't know what they would say knows best. I don't know where they would go with that type of program. Because, you know, in today's society, men don't know best. Amen. Amen. Government knows best. It takes a village to bring up a children. It can't be the father and mother doing it. It takes everybody to bring up children now. So now we infect them with all the garbage out there so that they can know right from wrong. So no, basically what it is we want to infect you with all the knowledge of that junk. And you who put... I got to be careful. Careful to whom you give your children control over. If your children learn more from school than they do from the body of Christ and from the church and from the Word of God, don't be surprised what you bring up.
Amen.
Don't be surprised what the outcome is. They have one goal, and that's to separate your children from God. That's the goal of today's society. That's the goal of today's schools. They have a coach who's now going through the courts because he would pray with his football team on the side. And they wanted him to quit, or he was fired, or whatever, all kinds of stuff. But this is what's going on. If you think your school's got your children... Now, here's the problem with this with parents today, is they use the school as their babysitter. Amen? So they're getting more information from them than they do from you. In the schools, they don't correct anymore. In other words, you do what you want. You go home, the kid goes home, or the child, let me be nice. The child goes home, and the parents correct. Now, who becomes the bad ones? The parents, and that's what they want. You bring a child up in the way of the Lord, they'll not depart from it when they grow old, which means that they're not only going to know God, they're going to trust God, and they're going to experience the very blessings of God in their life. Amen. Right now, the world wants them, your children, to grow up to trust in government to supply all their needs. Amen. Instead of God. So what happens, our children, and trust me when I tell you this, it's a disease that takes years of progression to come to fruition. Amen? All that information that's being pounded into them, or the lack thereof not being given to them, is infecting their minds and bringing a disease called secretism. Or what did I say? Pardon? Secularism. That's what I'm trying to get to. Thank you.
I knew that.
Which separates them from God. And that's their goal. How we got on that, I don't know. But Father knows how and when to correct his children.
Amen.
He's perfect in all his ways.
Yes.
So if you're going through some things right now that you don't like, and you're wondering, how come God the Father isn't involved in your situation? Maybe God's trying to teach you something. Now, I'm not talking about sickness and disease. My Father did never give sickness and disease to someone. That's not him. His way is to heal all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. Of the devil. Sickness and disease, I'm not talking about. But God knows exactly how to bring correction. And sometimes if we're not careful, and I'll just throw this in as a little information, we sometimes get involved in other people's lives God's trying to bring correction to, and we cut off what God's trying to do. Amen? That's something else to talk about another time. So let me bring you back to Proverbs 3. Learning how to trust God. How do we learn to trust God? How can we get to that place where we trust God? So if we do that, we can look back in the Old Testament And we can look throughout the whole scriptures and we can feel and we can see and we can hear and we can understand what God did with them so that we can see how God will operate with us. Because God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Amen? He said in Proverbs 3, verse 5, this scripture, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Let me stop there for a second. Lean not on your own understanding. When the nation of Israel came out of Egypt, and I was meditating on this, as they came out, and God trying to bring them into a better place, what they were infected with, as we talked about it a moment ago, was all the knowledge they gained from their previous life in Egypt. In other words, when they first got to Egypt, the nation of Israel was small in number, and they were blessed with given the best land in the area by Joseph, and they went out and they built families, and they built a great nation of almost, I think they said, around 2 million people. But they were there for 400 years. They started to forget who it was that provided for them when they sent them into Egypt. And God the Father was always there, but they forgot. And they started leaning on their own understanding of who God was. And they started worshiping the gods of Egypt. Think about it. They started worshiping the gods of Egypt. So when God brought them out of Egypt, his goal was to get them to know who he was in difference to what they were worshiping before. They got out, and how do we know that? When they were in Egypt, remember what was going on in their lives? They were in slavery. The Pharaoh had made an edict of killing the firstborn sons. That was Moses' testimony of how God and his mother saved him. They had made their life terrible to the point that everything they did, the Pharaoh would try to control to the point that they could never gain anything, but constantly were always behind the eight ball. And yet when they came out of Egypt and things looked difficult at the point where they were at that moment, they wanted to go back to that old way of living. They worshiped gods that never did anything for them. They worshiped gods that never spoke to them. They worshiped gods that were made with hands of man. There were golden idols. There were wooden idols. There were all kinds of different gods that they would worship. But none of them did anything for them, and their lives were miserable. God delivered them out of that life, and they wanted to go right back into it. Why? Because their mind and their understanding of who God, the one true God, was, never got to the point that they could trust him. Amen. They didn't trust him. Even though they saw God do some things. I know the body of Christ, almost everybody in here, Virginia was saying, I've been here, 82 years I am, and I've been to many different places and seen a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. Amen? This is what was going on, but they never learned who their God was. They never fully come to the place that I can lay down my life and I can trust God to deliver me out of what I'm going through. And the church is just like that. So what they've done is they've gone back into their own understanding of how to be delivered out of where they're at. They go back to doing the same things that got them into the mess where they're at when God took them out of it. And go right back into the same mess. Yeah. When you forget the God who got you out, who delivered you, who set you free, if you forget who he is, you're destined to go backwards, back into the same mess again. Until we learn to trust that God is our Heavenly Father and his ways are best for us and his ways are to bring me into a place of promise, of goodness, of refreshing, of health, of peace, of joy. If we can't trust him, we'll never follow him because we don't know where he'll take us. And we think we know better than him. So God will do things in our life, like I said about Wednesday night. God will do things in my life, and then I go, hey, wait a minute, I thought this, I was upset, I was complaining, I was murmuring, I was very upset until God showed me why he allowed it to happen. God didn't do it. But he took me that way because that woman needed to be blessed. And that meant that what I want was not as important what God wanted. Amen? I want wasn't as important as what God wanted. So I had to stop and think, and I go back and I repented and I asked God for forgiveness. And I pray, Lord, let me learn. Let me understand, Father God, that just because it's not going the way I want doesn't mean it isn't going your way.
Come on now. Come on.
Just because it doesn't look like it's right doesn't mean it isn't right, because God is working something so far deeper than I can see, that I can understand. God is trying to take you places. God is trying to get you to things that you had never conceived in your life is possible. That your life can be a light and a witness. Even driving a silly van loaded with carrots can make a difference in somebody else's life when it's God doing it. Yeah, but it's not the way I want. I know it isn't. That's why we can't lean on our own understanding. I wrote something down here, and this was just before I came out here. And I want to read what I wrote down. Remember when I talked to you last week about Abraham, then we went to Noah, then we went to David, then we went to Jesus. Remember that? I said these all learned to trust God. Abraham got saved. Noah saved his family. David saved the nation. Jesus saved the world. Just because they trusted God. So then I asked some questions here, and this is what God had me write down. Hallelujah. He said this. Remember, meaning about Abraham. He said, how many times has the Spirit of God and God himself told us not to go to where we went, but we did it anyways? Amen? God told us, don't go there. Don't do that. But because we wanted to do it, we did it anyways. Because we thought it was the right thing to do, we did it anyways. God is trying to get us into a place like Abraham. Not only can he bless us, but we become a blessing to others. It's God's will that you, it's not God's will that you're always... Now, there might be a place where God says, okay, I'm going to put you in a situation where you don't seem like you're being blessed, but I'm going to tell you what, your life can make a difference. I was reading a story about brother, what was his name? Can't think of it now. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Do I have it someplace? I might have it. No, yes, no, yes, no. Here it is. Okay, yeah. Brother Young's life. Brother Young. He wrote his testimony out in a book called The Heavenly Man. He was taken to prison because of his testimony of Christ. He was a minister of the gospel. They put him in the prison, and then they started using electricity on him and put bamboo shoots up his fingernails and all kinds of things. I mean, it was just horrendous things going they were doing to him. After they did that, he was thrown into a box that was 4 foot long, 3 foot wide, and 4 foot high. And he was told he's going to stay in there indefinitely. Now, the only reason he was here in this position was because of his testimony of Jesus Christ. And they were trying to destroy that testimony. And so he prayed. Now, what do you think he prayed? Here's what he prayed. Father, I want a Bible. Now, Brother Yun was in Chinese prison. Most of the people, a lot of the people that were in that prison were there because of their testimony of Christ. No Christian literature was allowed in that prison. None whatsoever. He prayed that prayer. The next morning, a prison guard walked by and threw a Bible into his cell, into the box. You know what it taught him? It taught him, he said, Father, now I know that you're with me. Well, the first thing I would have prayed is get me out of here. Right? Amen? Want to get me out of here, Lord. But you know what? He come to understand that God had him where he was. Now, listen to me. There is suffering in this world. Amen? God didn't call you to suffer because of the sins of this world. God called you possibly to suffer for the name of Jesus, but not for the sins of this world. Sickness is not part of God's plan to cause you to suffer. Poverty is not part of God's plan to cause you to suffer. But you will suffer for the name of Jesus. We see now Christians are losing their job because of the name of Jesus. So you will see that. But he came to understand that the Father, and he learned to trust the Father because he knew the Father had him in that position so he could be a witness to the guards. And many people in that prison, not only guards, but prisoners got saved because of his trusting in God. How many of us could get to that place? Now, let me ask you a question. You get a need. Your neighbors know you have a need. You pray and God meets that need. Will you curse the fact you needed that need? Or you had that need? Or will you praise God for the need? Amen? Because the need could be a witness to those, oh, I seen you had a need. How come you got it met? I prayed and asked God. And God provided. Our problem is most of us, we have a want, not a need. And we're more caught up in our wants. God, when we were worshiping here, God spoke to me. He said, Dave, I don't operate in selfishness. I don't operate that way. I'm not moved just because you want something. I want to fulfill your need so that others can see that there is a God. Amen. That they can learn to trust in.
Amen.
So, the first thing, are you willing to do what God tells you to do and go where God tells you to go and not go where God tells you not to go? Amen. The second thing he said to me was this. How many of us were called of God to work building his ark, but were too busy doing other things? How many of us were called to build his ark? Well, I'm not there, and he's not going to flood the earth. And the ark, to me, my personal opinion, you can say I'm wrong, is the church. This is the ark. This is the place of safety. This will be the place of provision. This will be the place where community is built in God's purpose and plan. But we get too busy with life. We see things that need to be done. We know. And I'm not talking about preaching the gospel up here. If that's what you're called to, praise God, do that. If I'm not talking about, well, I got to do this and I got to be that. No. Bible says whatever your hand finds to do, do it. And do it as unto the Lord. I trust that God saved me for purpose. Not just to get to heaven. I am supposed to exhibit heaven here on earth. God wants people to see him through our lives, through our words, through our actions. He said this, how will they know him except by the love we have for one another in this place? If you love me, Jesus said, you'll do all I command. But we sometimes get caught up in selfishness and self so much we can't see the hurt of others. Some of us are praying for a Cadillac when somebody else doesn't have a leg to walk with. We're so busy worrying about what we can get from God, and we're saying to God the Father, you're my Father, you have to give me all of this. And God is saying, I love you, and I want you to have it, but I am not going to give it to you. It's to spoil you. God doesn't want you spoiled. Spoiled me is no good to anyone. Except to throw out to the wolves. God wants you to be strong. God wants you to be filled with such presence of God that, man, you just wherever you walk, something changes. Amen. When you come into the room, the very presence of God walks in with you and you go, I always told you, you're the gift. You are the gift to the world. Do you understand that? But if your focus is on self, that's all you got to give. And I hate to tell you this, but the world's going to take advantage of you. The world is going to build you up and tear you down. They're going to tell you how wonderful you are, use you, and throw you away. That's the world's way. Look at it. Our garbage dump's filled with stuff that was used and thrown away. That's why we got so many abortions. Used tissue, throw it away. When you look to the world for your whatever, don't be surprised what you get. The nation of Israel looked at the golden calf and said, yep, that's the one who got you out of there. If you think your money is all that God cares about, you're missing the mark. God is not looking to your money. He's looking to your heart. Hallelujah. God wants you to do your part. As he said to Esther, Mordecai said, how do you know, except for such a time as this, you are where you are. God has placed you here. Virginia said it. This isn't just because this is where she likes to be. She has purpose to be here. Amen. We all have purpose. Wherever you go, if it's not here, wherever you are, make sure your purpose does not stop with you. Mm-hmm. You're called to help build the ark. The third one, David, fighting Goliath. We know that. This is what I wrote. How many of us were called to fight spiritual battles on our knees to deliver others, but were so caught up in our own lives, we didn't have time, and battles were lost and lives destroyed? How many of us, we get caught up? Paul said, you know, when he was in prison, he said, I know through your prayers and the Spirit of God, I will be delivered out of this. We have the power with that relationship and trust in God. What did he say? He said, I have this confidence that I know if God hears me, I'm his child. He loves me as much as he loves Jesus. Do you think the Father heard what Jesus had to say? When Jesus prayed, did God the Father answer? Matter of fact, Jesus had such trust in God when he went up to get Lazarus out of the cave. He said, Lord, I know that you hear me, but I'm saying this out loud so that the others know. He had such a relationship and trust in God that he knew that even before he got there, God had already started working. Amen. He was doing it for others so that they could be blessed. There's battles that need to be fought, and they're only going to be won with people on their knees praying. For those who are trying to fight natural battles with natural ways, and those who have given up because they haven't seen victories in their lives, you need to start getting down on your knees and start praying and seeking the Lord. First of all, for you, so that you can renew that trust and faith in God again. Get back to that place of humility, acknowledging that there is only one true God, and the only battle that's won is through Christ himself. David himself said, when I said that earlier to you, I said, David said, you come to me with spears and javelins. Look at somebody else who's coming against you. You say, you come to me with all those ugly words you say, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, our God of hosts, and you should not touch one of God's anointed with those weapons of your words. But you can only do that when you know who you are and you trust that your Father is leading and guiding you. These are real battles that you're fighting. And they're spiritual battles. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, rulers of the darkness world, evil, wicked spirits in the heavenlies. Yes, Goliath was there. He was real. But the battle was a spiritual weapons and spiritual warfare that defeated the natural ones. And it'll happen every time. But we get caught up in self. We lean back on our own understanding. We say, well, how can I get this person to do what I want him to do? God says you can't. That's why I did it with my Holy Spirit, and you can't do it with you. Amen? Amen. So what we do, get on our knees. Start praying. Father, I know this battle is not mine. It's yours. You see the enemy that's coming against me. It's not that person. But there's a spirit that's behind that person. Now, Father, I pray now, using your weapons, what can I do to defeat that spirit behind that person and deliver that person? Because you have more concern for the person than you do for self. When David went up against Goliath, it wasn't all about David. He was delivering a whole nation of people, a whole army. When we come to that place of humility and we say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. As we come to the last one. How many of us were called to lay down our lives, meaning our wills, so that others may live, but spend our lives trying to save our lives at the cost of others? Amen? Trusting God, as Job said, even though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The widow, when her son died, not the widow, she wasn't a widow, but the Shunammite woman, when her son died, and people ask, what's going on? Her response was, all is well. She wanted to get to the man of God, and she refused to complain and murmur about her situation, and she put her full trust and faith in the God of the prophet that would stay at his house, her house. So she said, all is well. When she ran along and running up, and the steward came out and said, what's going on? She said, all is well. She refused to give in to her basic need, her fears, her concerns, which was the death of her son. When we finally come to a place like Jesus did, he said, there's no greater love than one who lays down his life for another. When we come to a place of trust in God, our life isn't what counts anymore. We trust God with our very lives. And we're willing to go beyond what we could do. There was a man called Brother Andrew back in the 40s and 50s. He was in World War II from Holland, and he got shot in the ankle. And after he finally got, he was in the hospital. That time they had nuns that were nurses. As he sat there, he watched nurses day after day, or laid there, he watched nurses day after day as they ministered to the sick and to the wounded. And he said, I watched them, and they always had a smile on their face, and they were always doing it with such cheerfulness. And they would read to people and all this, and they'd bathe them. And one day, this one nun came up to him, and he said to him, how come you guys can do this and always be cheerful and happy? And he said, because we do it for the love of Christ. And she said, you should know that. And she pointed to a Bible that was laying next to him. And it was a Bible his mother had given him but never had opened up years before. And the Bible just sat there. And so it started bothering him. And he started thinking about it. And he said, well, let me find out what she's talking about. He opened the Bible up. And he started in Genesis 1 and started reading through. And he got discharged. He went back to Holland. And he got saved. Asked the Lord to be his Lord and Savior and confessed his sins. And he said to God one day, he said, Lord, I just want to serve you. In whatever way I can serve you, I give you my life. Whatever I can do. So God laid it on his heart to start bringing Bibles behind the Iron Curtain. And it says that, you know, at that time, Bibles were illegal. You could not bring them into the countries over there. And he was specifically at this point going to Romania. And he said, okay, Lord, I'll take Bibles in. So he had before he got to this point, somebody had come up to him and said to him, Brother Andrew, you need to go get your driver's license. He said, what do I need a driver's license for? I don't ever intend on driving. I got no reason to drive. And over there they had public, conveyances, and they didn't have to worry about having a car and everything. He said, and he didn't have a car. He said, you need to get your driver's license. He said, I don't need a driver's license. And he said, look, I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm just bringing you the message, what we got in prayer one day, that you need to get your driver's license. He didn't know why. Well, later on he did. He said, because of that man was so convinced that he heard from God to tell me to get my driver's license, he said, I went out and got my driver's license. He ended up getting a little Volkswagen Beetle. And God started using him to deliver Bibles across the Iron Curtain with that Volkswagen Beetle. So one day he's got his car filled with Bibles. He's got a suitcase filled with Bibles in the car. He pulls up to this crossing point. And at that crossing point, there's guards, and they're looking through all the vehicles. He's watching. There's like four or five cars ahead of him. And every car, they're pulling the people out, having to stand out there, and they just take the whole car apart. And so they put it all back together. And so he's waiting in that line. And every car is doing the same thing. And then it's coming up to his turn. And he's waiting back there. And he's thinking to himself, he says, I'm loaded with Bibles in this car. They're tearing all the cars apart. He said, they're going to get me. He said, well, Lord. And this is what he said. He said something to this effect, not perfectly, but he said, I'm going to put my trust in you. And he took his suitcase and he opened it up on his front seat, loaded with Bibles, pulled up. He said, Father, I believe that you can blind the eyes of these guards and they will not be able to see. He pulled up. The guy asked for his papers. He handed it to him, looked at him, signed them, handed them back, and told him to go. Drove through and delivered all the Bibles. But see, he's willing to lay down his life for others. He's willing to lay down his life for others. Now, God may never call any of us into this. God may never call you to go to such extremes. And praise God if he does. I hope you learn to trust him. Not just hope, trust. You're willing to lay it all out there. Here it is. Maybe all it is learning to trust him no matter where you're at. Your job says if you speak that name, you're fired. You trust God. If he fires you from there, you've got something better for me someplace else. I'm not telling you what to do or how to do it. I'm just saying to you, it's the same thing for all of us. Do you trust God? To the point that you could lay down your life and trust him to go across the borders with multitudes of Bibles and say, yes, Lord, I trust you. It's not an easy place to get to for any of us. It isn't. Next week, I want to talk to you about some steps on how to get to a place where we can trust him. What's it going to take? Amen. I believe that the Lord is leading us. He's bringing us to a place to live by faith, to know him, and trust that he is a rewarder of those who will lay down their life and diligently seek him and spend time with him, to hear his voice. And when he speaks, do what he tells you to do. Listen, I'm not always there. I'm honest. Even doing this message, I'm sitting there thinking of some things, and I go, ooh. You know what I thought? I never stop and pray and say, Lord, what do you want? How shall I act? What should I say? What do you want from me? Lord, I got things I got to do today, but I am willing to follow your directions rather than mine. Show me the way. Teach me the way. Teach me how to trust you. I want to know you. Moses said, I want to know the way you think. I want to know the way you go, the way you do things. Because if I don't know that, if you don't know the way God thinks and the way he does things, you'll never trust him. You'll trust yourself. You'll listen to what you believe to be true. And you'll operate in that way. And you'll miss the very blessings and purpose of God for your life. Father, we thank you today. We give you praise and glory. We honor you, Father God, not only in word, but in deed. We love you, Father. We acknowledge, Almighty God, that we don't always do things according to your plan and purpose. Sometimes we lean on our own understanding. Father, there's some in here who's been so far away from you that they don't even hear your voice, or they don't seem to think that there's any hope of returning. But I believe in you, Lord. I believe and trust that you can restore them and you heal them and deliver them, bring them into a place of such fruitfulness, Father, that others will be able to go to them and pull off from them the fruit of your presence. Oh, mighty God, in Jesus' precious name, forgive us for looking to self. Forgive us to care more about self than about others. Help us, Father God. Help us this day. Make us strong where we are weak. We pray for your grace, Father God, and your mercy and your love and your compassion for others. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen.